So if you were here this morning and you took something away from that lesson on self-control, which I did find it funny that I preached on self-control and we went home, and you want to know what I had for lunch? Fried chicken and sweet tea. I mean, I really put it into practice. I only had two glasses. I felt pretty good. No, I'm just joking. I really did have sweet tea and fried chicken. I just didn't show a whole lot of self-control. So I figured I'd already preached the message. I could indulge a little bit. But maybe you went home and you decided, you know what, today I'm going to make some changes with my life. Or maybe you've been thinking about that for a while and you decided, you know what, I'm going to turn some things around. I'm going to give my life to the Lord and I'm going to change some things that are going on in my heart. Well, I think that's awesome. Today is the best day to change your life. But there's something you need to hear first. Tonight's topic, I really don't enjoy teaching on it. I don't like to hear what I'm about to tell you. You probably don't like it either. It's like when you go to the mechanic, you take your car to the auto shop, and he gives you a call, and he tells you this phrase I'm about to tell you. You really don't like to hear it. It's not a phrase you want to hear anytime when you walk into the dentist's office. It's not a phrase that any woman who is in labor likes to hear whenever she walks in to the hospital. This is a phrase that should be told to those who have just been baptized into Christ. It's a phrase that I've thought about. I need to start telling more young youth ministers who are starting out. It's a phrase that needs to be said to people who are overcoming addiction. It's a phrase that needs to be said to people who are coping with life and readjusting to life after losing a loved one. It's a phrase that needs to be said to those who are coming out of bad long-term relationships and to those whose hearts may be broken. And as much as we don't want to hear it, as much as we don't like to hear it, here it is. The title of tonight's lesson is, "This May Take a While." And as my lessons usually do, this may take a while. So our text tonight comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it together. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful." I don't know about you, but I really want to live a fruitful life, especially after this morning we talked just for a little bit about the fruits of the Spirit. I really want those fruits to grow in my life. I want to be more loving, more peaceful, more patient. I want to have more self-control, be more gentle, have more faithfulness and goodness. I want all of those fruits to grow in my life. And like we talked about this morning, it cannot be me just working harder. It cannot be me just trying harder. It's got to be me surrendering more of my life under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And so I want to live a fruitful life, don't you? And not just spiritually speaking, in every aspect of our life, we want to live a fruitful life. We want to do well. We want to succeed at whatever our job is. If you're in school, hopefully your formula is not D is for diploma. Hopefully you want to do well and achieve, right? You want to better yourself in life. You want to live a fruitful life. If you are single or you're dating and one day you want to get married, you want that to be a fruitful marriage. You want it to be something that you enjoy. Nobody wants to wake up on Monday and go, "Wow, I really despise my life. I can't wait for this week." Nobody wants to wake up that way. We all want to be excited about our life because we want it to be fruitful. When I read John 15, I really wish it said, "Every branch that does bear fruit, he rewards." And he strokes it and he speaks little kind encouraging words to this branch. "Good job, little branch. You're doing so good. Keep growing, little branch. Look at you. Aren't you just so fruitful?" But that's not what it says. In fact, if you really pay attention, the fruitful branch and the fruitless branch both experience the same thing. They're both cut. So for the branch that's growing in its relationship with Christ, it has the same experience as the branch that's not growing in its relationship with Christ. For the person who comes to church every week and pours their heart out to God and is really trying to connect with Him and lift Him up, that person has the same experience as the person that comes and just sits and goes through the routine and is only here in their body but not really here in their mind. They're experiencing the same thing. They're both cut. They're both snipped. It's as if Jesus is saying, you're snipped if you do and snipped if you don't. And this painful pruning is happening to every one of us, whether we're growing in our relationship with Christ or not. It's this soundtrack of life of constant snipping and cutting. Well, Jesus is trying to make something understandable to us in this passage, that there are two things that are linked together, like peas and carrots, like peanut butter and jelly, and like butter on a biscuit. Fruitfulness and faithfulness are inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot experience the fruitfulness of life unless you are fully bought into the faithfulness of life. Now, we all have this desire to be fruitful, right? In fact, it's a desire we're created with. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. What does God tell Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. It's this desire placed within the heart of each of us. But the problem is sometimes it's really difficult to see the fruit in your life. What may be even more difficult is to see someone else living a fruitful life, because a lot of times that fruitfulness, that fruit that's growing, is growing on the inside. Let's read together Psalm number 1, the first three verses. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Pay attention to verse 3. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, we want that to be the story of our life, that last phrase, right? Whatever he does or whatever she does prospers. Everything that I do, I want it to go well, right? I want it to be successful. I never approach something and go, well, I really hope this fails, or, you know, there's a really good chance this is going to fail, right? Nobody wants to approach life that way. Whatever we do, we want it to be successful. We want it to prosper. But so many of us are looking for that quick fix. We just want it to be successful, and to be successful right now. Think about the current generation that's entering the workforce. My generation, the millennials, what are all of them wanting? They're all wanting the high-paying job and the high position without the hard work of building up and getting to that place, right? And it's not getting any better with any generation after that. You want to know why? Because we grew up with microwaves. If you need to heat something up, you don't have to put it in the oven for 7 hours, right? Much less 7 minutes. You pop it in the microwave, in 30 seconds it's steaming hot and burning your mouth. We don't like to wait. But the problem is that we don't want to be planted in the principles that lead to prosperity. Look at what it said in verse 3. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. If you've ever done any type of gardening, you know it takes time for something to grow. I'm not very patient. Haley has these two little flower beds, raised flower beds that I made her, and she'll grow some stuff in there, and that's her little thing. I don't mind it. I think it's cool sometimes to get some of the fruits and veggies. But I told her when I built those things, I said, you know what? Walmart has all this stuff on the shelf right now. You don't have to get out here and work in the garden. You can just go to Walmart and buy it. I know it'll cost you a little bit more, but it's saving you all that time and headache of stuff dying. Right? We have chickens. I have no idea why. I hate birds. I have a fear of them, but yet we have 8 of them. Okay? You can get me fired up talking about these chickens. And when we talked about them at first, she said she really wanted the eggs. That's fine. I'm not a big breakfast eater, but whatever. But I told her in that moment, well, you know, Walmart sells really good eggs, and you don't have to have birds in your yard to get them. But you know what? She wanted to grow in that area of her life, and having a green thumb, and I guess being a redneck or whatever. She's not here tonight, so I can say that. But the point is, we want the prosperity without being planted in the faithfulness. It's like we talked about this morning. In January, all those people who get that gym membership, they go to the gym every day for 2 weeks. And then they stand in front of the mirror and they go, why am I not muscular? Why have I not dropped all these pounds? Well, it takes time, right? It's like maybe you started out in January doing your one word readings and you read them every day and you were staying on task and you did really good for a few weeks, but you didn't see the changes in your life that you were hoping to. Or maybe you did one of those daily Bible reading plans and you did good for several weeks, maybe even a couple of months, until you got to that daunting book called Leviticus. And then you got bogged down and you got discouraged, and so you quit and you wondered, why aren't you growing in your relationship with Christ? Maybe you've been talking to someone about their relationship with Christ and you're trying to share with them the message of the gospel and you're expecting them just to hear it the first time and say, yep, here we go, ready to go to the waters of baptism. But sometimes it takes a while of staying committed and staying faithful to the process of living fruitful. But there's nothing worse than feeling unfruitful. You ever been there? If you want to know what it's like, ask a 28-year-old woman who's still waiting on that ring. All the dates, all the makeup, all the cardio, it gets frustrating. It's like the student who studies and studies and studies and works really hard to make a good grade, and then they bomb the test. And they worked really hard. It's not the kid who walked in and was like, oh, we got a test today. What a surprise. It's the kid that worked really, really hard, studied for weeks, and then bombed it. It's like the couple that's been trying to get pregnant, and they have been staying at it for months and months and even years, yet it's unfruitful. But it's like every other couple in their life is getting pregnant all around them, sometimes by accident, and even complaining about it. It's so frustrating when you feel unfruitful. It's like the person that went to college and worked really hard and graduated from a good school with a solid degree, only to find out that they can't get a job in that field right now, and so they have to resort to taking another job that they're way overqualified for, that they do not enjoy. They're not using any of the skill set they learned in college. They feel like it's a dead-end job, and they wake up every day feeling unfruitful. There's nothing more frustrating than feeling unfruitful. But feeling unfruitful and being unfruitful are not the same thing. Sometimes we can feel unfruitful, but we're really not. Because when God waters and prunes and tills up within our hearts, sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes we don't know that that's going on because we don't always know what our Father is doing within our life. Some of you are here tonight because you were forced to come and you feel unfruitful. Some of you are here tonight because you're just stuck in a rut. You have no semblance of a Christian walk with Jesus. You're just sort of going through the motions and you're feeling unfruitful and you're feeling frustrated. It's as if Jesus is dragging you along rather than you walk with Him. You feel cut off. But being cut off and being cut back are not the same thing. It's just like azalea bushes. We have some at our house. They make me sneeze. That's all they're good for, right? They look pretty about 2 weeks out of the year, and they grow and grow and grow. And then you got to cut them things back really far, right? To where they look hideous, because the next year, you know what they're going to do? They're going to bloom and grow and grow and grow and get overgrown before you realize it. And so in order for it to stay healthy and to continue to grow, you have to cut it back. And that's what God does to us. Well, there's one little word in John 15 and verse 2 that I really don't like. The word while. You ever thought about that word, while? It's indefinite. You have no idea how long a little while is going to be, right? Husbands, you know what I'm talking about? Honey, you ready to go? Yeah, just a little while longer. Could be 10 minutes. Could be an hour. Right? When my wife says to me, hey, will you watch the children while I go to the grocery store? It won't take just a little while. I love watching my kids, but she could be gone for a couple hours where I think you could get it done in about 30, 40 minutes. Right? And so our understanding of while is off. Look at what Jesus says in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. I don't like for other things to be going on while I'm teaching. I like people to be totally locked in, you know. Not that I'm always totally locked in, but I like everybody to be totally locked in. But sometimes other stuff is going on while I'm teaching. Sometimes a while is bad in regards to time. It's frustrating in regards of time. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer is trying to give these Christians who are dealing with intense persecution some hope. And he says, in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. Well, how long is a little while going to be? In 1 Peter, Peter says that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. I'm not sure about you, but I don't really like God's definition of time, his understanding of time. For me, a day is 24 hours, right? A little while is fixated in my mind as to how long I think a little while should be. But for God, it can be different, because if by a little while you mean 15 minutes, I'm good. But if by a little while you mean 15 years, well, I can get frustrated. But on the flip side of that, while a little while can be frustrating, it can also be sobering. If you're a parent, you understand that you only have a little while to parent your children. Some people say by the time they reach age 10 or 11, their core beliefs are set. And then you basically become guardrails, trying to keep them in the middle of the road so they don't go drive off the cliff. Well, if that's true, wow, I don't have long. Just a little while, right? And because of that, because sometimes while can be such a short amount of time, it can really open our eyes to figuring out what really matters in life. What's most important? Because if Jesus is coming in just a little while, well, what if by while it's a short amount of time? Well, that really changes the way that I view life. And I view the things that are important to me. And so because of that, we've got to prune our priorities. We've got to pay attention to the things that are coming into our life to make sure that they matter. Flip over with me to Nehemiah chapter 6. There's just a couple of verses. In the book of Nehemiah, the Israelites are rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And they're doing really good. I mean, things are going really well. They are working and working and working, and they're having a lot of success. This wall's going up really fast. But you know what happens when things are going really good? There's some people that don't like that, and so life starts working against you. Well, sure enough, some guys start working against Nehemiah and the Israelites. And here's what it says in verse 2. It says, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. Did you catch that? They wanted him to come meet with them so they could bring him harm, so they could take him down off of the wall and get his focus on something else while all this other work is going on, and potentially slow down and even come to a halt without the main leader there. And so here's what Nehemiah responded, verse 3. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? He says, no. I'm not going to meet you there. I'm going to keep focusing on what God wants me to do, because this is the right and good thing to do. Why should I come down and this work to stop while I come and meet with you? He had to figure out what was the most important. And sometimes in our life, if that wall that Nehemiah is working on for us represents growing in our faith and following after the will of God, sometimes we come down off of our wall to chase things that don't really matter. We get so distracted sometimes that we quit the work that God has prepared for us to do, to chase after some things that are not bringing us any kind of fruit within our life. Things like gaining the approval and admiration for people who really aren't paying attention to us, and people who don't really ignore us, when all the while we're ignoring the people that mean the most to us. And whatever it is, we have to figure out, is this worth my while? Is what I am chasing after, is what I am pursuing, is it worth my while? Even spending time dwelling on past mistakes. You ever done that? You ever just sat down and things got quiet and you started to roll some things through your mind? And it's like your mind has this projector or this projector that just shoots this image back to the forefront of your mind of this scene that you're playing out. And you remember the mistake that you made, and you're just kind of dwelling on it. Man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I let God down. I can't believe I disappointed my family or my friends or my spouse. What was I thinking? And so you're sitting there dwelling on this past mistake that you've already asked God to forgive you of, but you haven't let it go. And what's happening? During that time, you've come down off the wall, and you're focused on something that does not matter anymore. Grow from it. And let it go, right? It's time to move on and get back to work. Because we cannot be consistent at everything. We've got to prune our priorities. If there's too many pursuits in life, then we're not going to be consistent at any of them. I don't know about you, I really struggle with saying the word no. Sometimes when people ask me to do things or I've been given certain opportunities, sometimes it's just hard to say no. Some of you are probably really good at saying the word no. I struggle with that. I want to do the will of God. I want to be involved in as many things as I possibly can. But sometimes it takes us away from what's most important. Let me give you an example. This wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but I think just an example of keeping our focus right. So back in September, I was invited to speak at the Fried Hardeman Lectureship. That occurred the first week of May. Thought it was a really cool opportunity. I've never been to Fried Hardeman's lectureship. Thought it was a great opportunity to speak there and to talk to some youth ministers, many of whom I did not know. And so I said, yeah. And I knew in my mind in that moment that by saying yes to agreeing to go, that meant I could not leave until Sunday night after church, after our Super Bowl party, because our youth group always has a Super Bowl party. Super Bowl gets over somewhere between 9 to 9:30 at night. And then from there, I was going to have to leave and start making my way up to Henderson, Tennessee. Not a short drive, about a little over five hours. And so I thought, well, it'll be fine. I mean, I'll stay up late. Yeah, I'm not 22, 23 years old anymore. I like to go to bed early now. But I thought, you know, I'll be okay. And as I got closer to that commitment, I really started to dread it. I don't want to be up that late. I don't want to drive that far. I don't want to be gone for 2 days and leave my family and just be out of touch with everything that's going on. And I'm glad I went. I enjoyed my time there. But it really challenged me to focus on what am I saying yes to? And are there things in my life that I need to say no to in order to keep what's most important the most important? I'm not saying it was a bad thing. I'm not saying I should have said no, but it just reminded me as I got closer to it, I started to wonder, should I have said no to this? Because it was too much. We've got to prune our life and ask ourselves, is this worthwhile? Everything, every opportunity, every commitment, every time commitment, every new opportunity, we've got to ask ourselves, is it worthwhile? Is the new job promotion, is it worthwhile? Is this new relationship, is it worthwhile? Is it helping me grow? Is it helping me become more fruitful in my life? Because what will happen the more we say yes to certain things, the more we say no to other things. Not intentionally, but the more we say yes, the more we have to say no. And the thinner we spread ourselves, the more difficult it is to really focus on the people and on the relationships. What is worthwhile? We are not the vine. We are the branch. And to stay committed to the vine, we need to determine what is worth our while. So tonight I want to leave you with this thought. If you want to live a fruitful life, you've got to live a faithful life. If you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, you've got to be faithful to what will lead you to a stronger relationship with Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a while, if you want to overcome a certain sin and struggle, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It may take a while. If you want to change some bad habits and behaviors in your life, it may take a while. If you want to change the way you parent your children, it may take a while to see the fruit. If you want to improve your relationship with your spouse, it may take a while of you changing the way you interact with them in order to see the fruit, right? If you want to change your future, it may take a while of you being faithful and being planted in the right principle so that one day you will experience the fruit. But stay committed, because it is worth your while. So tonight, can I give you a couple of challenges? Number one, I want to challenge you to stay committed to your one-word readings. This is a challenge to me. I've gotten a little off track and a little behind. I want to challenge you, challenge each of us, to stay committed to reading our one-word devotionals so that as a church family, we all can be one in the Word this year. I want to challenge you to give your life to Christ if you never have. If you want your life to be fruitful to the greatest degree, if you want to experience the greatest success, and that's not financially, that's spiritually, if you want to live the greatest life, then give your life to Jesus, because there is no greater life than the one that's in Him. If you really want to be fruitful and for your life to have meaning, then give your life to Jesus and be baptized tonight. I also want to challenge you, if you've done that, but you've gotten off track and you've got that feeling of unfruitfulness in your life and you're sort of frustrated by how things are going, then recommit yourself tonight to living a faithful life so that you can experience the fruitfulness of life. But sometimes it just takes you sticking with it for so long to see the fruit. So keep coming. Keep reading. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep sharing your faith with other people. And you'll see the fruit that God has in store for you. If you want to live a fruitful life, you got to live a faithful life. So tonight, if we can help you in any way, if we can pray with you about maybe some struggle that's going on in your life, an area of your life that you want to turn over to God and give Him control of, and to allow Him to work within your heart and to continue that work that He's doing within you, and you want to recommit yourself to Him, we'd love to pray with you. If you would like to give your life to Jesus for the first time tonight and be baptized into Him, to have your sins washed away so you can begin to live that fruitful and faithful life, we'd love to assist you in that. We've got a little while, and if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?